Well, good morning and welcome to Faith Springs Baptist Church and our online live webcast. So we just appreciate y'all being here. We're going to give everybody a minute or two to, like we do each week. I'm kind of in a different position for a reason. I'm feeling goofy this morning, so bear with me, but I want to make sure everybody has a chance. If you have children, you want to make sure the kids all get around the screen here in a few minutes, because I've kind of got something fun and exciting that I want to share with you, but it looks like we have people on. If you could be so kind to let me know here, if you are here. I'm watching people come in on the side, but this is the best guide because there's people on Facebook, the BBS radio site, and other different sites that they have available, so everybody has their own way of getting on. So thank you. Jack and Trisha here, Annie's here. All right. I have my hair in a ponytail. No, I do not. Good morning to you. Just keep on doing that for me, and when I know that we're about 2 minutes in, you want to grab your Bibles this morning, of course. You want to grab your coffee, of course. Thank you. Good to see you, Robert, Amber, and Annie, and Becky, and Philip. I know Bernice and Carl and Carl and Amber and Kim and Richard, I talked to them beforehand, are all here too. And, I was talking to Don before we started. On the webpage, shatteredbythedarkness.com, Curtis posts the videos each week. And we had right at 500 views from last Sunday's sermon on that site. So somebody's watching it. I don't know. Hey, Nancy, good morning. Michael's here. Jesse, Mr. Outlaw, is in the building. Elvis has arrived. So welcome, Jesse. Oh, here they go. Wow, everybody's coming. The Taylors are here. Fantastic. Make sure the kids are able to get up to the screen here in a minute. Patsy, good morning. I have not got word that Gene Pritchard is here. But we always like to wait for Gene because Brett and April always try to get Gene up and running to where she can at least hear it. So we'll give you another minute. Don was also telling me that immediately following our show on BBS Radio, Dee Wallace, the famous actress that was on so many different TV shows, has the show following ours. Hey, Jane and Senior. Miss Linda from Robber Room. Okay, well, welcome. Luann is here. So it's looking pretty good. We're getting a pretty good tally here of people that is coming on. Jack Manley, Jack and Lucy. I'm surprised Lucy hasn't killed Jack during this quarantine time. It's good to know that you're still alive. Oh, they're coming on this side here too, so we're doing good here. All right. You know, if you have any prayer requests, feel free to kick those to us. We wanted to let you know of what's going on, how people are doing, and always reaching out. And I know Texas is open now, which is kind of scary. Yesterday we had the highest numbers I think we've had since this has happened. So be careful out there. Jack and Teresa, Candy and Robert. Robert, we're going to have an event soon so we can try one of your briskets again. So, okay. Oh, good. Deb Miller's here. Wonderful. Okay, we have just some wonderful people that are going to keep coming through. I want to keep the sound on for a little bit until I get done through this first little stage. You'll notice that I'm in a little different position because I want to show you what happens here in a second in the quarantine. We are looking at different options, and I'm kind of in a goofy mood this morning. So don't take that I'm not very serious about what I'm talking about, because I am. You know, we're in a situation where we're getting close to having options of opening up our church. We will not be able to have one big service for everybody. That's just probably not going to happen right away. We may have two church services, and one at a certain time for people in this alphabet and the other time for this. If, for instance, and I just want to kind of have everybody have their phone handy and be ready to text me for a quick poll, and I won't read this now, I'll read it after, because it'll be, these are people still coming up. So here's the question. If we had church, let's just say, by chance, next Sunday or the Sunday after, how many people would venture out and come right now in the condition that the world is in right now, knowing you'd have to have a face mask? If you would be willing, yes or no, I would like to know, would you come to church, for instance, next Sunday, if we had it in our building, yes or no? And if it was less, if it was 50 or less people, and we had it spread out inside the building, just a yes or no. I'm just taking a quick poll. I'd love to know what your answers are, so I can kind of scroll down afterwards, let it help me make some decisions. So if you can kick that to me right now, I would love to hear that, and I'll read those later. So I want you all to reply to that question if you could. Now, if you're in California listening to me, don't answer that question. Only people that would actually come to church. Yeah. I'm hearing some good stuff. So keep on doing that. I'm going to silence this right now because we have the core of the group on. But all the kids to kind of get around. Thank you for that, and just keep answering answering that question, yes or no. Maybe we would not be able to have childcare. It would not make sense to have all the kids. To have the different people watching your children, but we're not for sure those different people don't have the COVID, and it just hasn't showed up in symptoms in them yet. So we're going to have to really look at this. But I'm seriously looking at different options. And if I knew that we had a good, nice day where it wasn't going to rain, I would have one out in the parking lot. Boy, in the old building, when I was talking to Kim and Richard before, it would be so easy to do this because you naturally social distance in that building when it was holding 1,500 people. There was three pews between each family. But anyway, thank you for that. You know, in this quarantine thing, I had got a couple little prizes for the Easter egg hunt. And these are a couple of the prizes, because we're still going to have an Easter egg hunt. I promise you that. We got a little girl a bunny and a little boy bunny. And these were the prizes. So when we come back to have church, we're still going to celebrate Easter. We're still going to have an Easter egg hunt. But I did not know, even though I grew up on a farm, that if you had a couple bunnies quarantined for a very long time, this is what happened over all that time. And we have all of these, this is not even a portion of it, but we have so many Easter egg prizes and eggs that we're going to have all the kids later that I just can't wait. This is just a few of them. We have an unbelievable amount of these, and this is just going to be a fun way to be able to celebrate Easter for the kids. And on that Saturday or even Sunday at church, when we come back, that first, there'll be the second Sunday. When we come back, we'll have the first Sunday and announce it. The second Sunday, we'll have the Easter egg hunt, and we have some of these prizes, and we have now, I think we have probably four times as many, but this is all I could get set up and still be able to function in my penthouse there. So, well, that was fun. So if I can't wait till people come online right now and look and go, what is that behind him? All these eggs and chickens.
and I guess these are yellow chickens and bunnies. I think that's it, chicks and bunnies. So, and they've been multiplying. And if we don't hurry up and have Easter and celebrate Easter and the Easter egg hunt, I think I'm going to be out of house and home here. They're going to take over the building. So, kids, it's going to be there for you. I can't wait to see your smiling faces when you go run up and grab them and then go grab and hunt for the Easter eggs. It's going to be a good time. We're not going to celebrate Easter on Easter. We celebrate Easter anytime we want to celebrate Easter because God is always alive and well. So I appreciate you all being here today. Thank you for watching. You can watch the Facebook Live, not Facebook, Faith Springs Live on BBS Radio right now on their Facebook account. You can go on their site. Curtis also posts my son on the Shattered by the Darkness site. You can go and watch the church service on that. Or you can go straight to YouTube. At any time, type in Faith Springs, and it'll take you right to all the options on YouTube that has been on, and those are archives, so you can just watch them over and over and over again. But we had almost 500 views of last Sunday's sermon on the Shattered by the Darkness site. So wherever you want to find it, we'd love to have you here, and I'm glad that you're with us today. And this is going to be a good message. But I'm trying to, I was thinking this morning, which sometimes doesn't happen very often, but I'm going to bring this in a little bit and scoot back so I can get a hold of everything. But as I was looking at the sermon, and I've changed sermons about 10 times this week, really about three, and just a couple times over the weekend. But as I was taking a shower this morning and getting ready and you know, for the day, and that was early this morning, I was starting to notice, and as I was doing laundry yesterday, yes, I do laundry. Have you ever noticed all the stuff that tries to cover up who you are and what you smell like? You know, well, I'm in the shower. And you use body wash, and this is live wire, so live wire body wash. And, you know, this has a wild smell to it. If this isn't good enough, then you have the shampoo that you put on that has a rosemary, eucalyptus, and juniper berry smell, okay? Whoop-de-doo. Along with live wire, okay? So this is all on my body at the same time. Hang with me. This is all going to tie in. Then, on top of that, you spray deodorant. And this has a different smell. Sports defense. That's a limited edition. I don't know why you need a limited edition deodorant, but there you go. So you have all these smells on top. And then on top of that, you cover it up with cologne. Now, this is Sauvage, which is the one that Johnny Depp uses. And, you know, I've wore this quite a while. I've never looked like Johnny Depp. But anyway, they want you to smell like him anyway. And so you have all this on top of that. So as I was doing laundry yesterday, I noticed this. You put in your clothes in a detergent that has a smell to it. And now they add smell to the detergent. So this has a downy smell. If that's not enough, they have this. These are little beads now that you put in. It has a powerful smell. Downy Unstoppables. It's in your wash. So you fill this cup up with these beads, pour this in the wash. That gives your clothes smell on top of this. On top of this. And then you have this. that has different smells to it too. So you got this, this, and the detergent. And then I don't even know what the clothes were supposed to smell like. So you have those three smells spinning around all together. And then you throw it in the dryer. And on top of that, you have this that has a smell to itself. And then I saw something the other day. So you have all this stuff that you put on your body, all this stuff that you put on your clothes, all this stuff that afterwards you spray down with this to make sure you smell like a man or smell like a woman and whatever. So it's like, what? And then the other day when I was going out and having a panic attack that we didn't have, the country was running out of toilet paper. Have you seen this? Toilet paper that has a smell. I don't know about you. Why in the world do we need toilet paper to have a smell for? I just do not understand the concept. But the only thing that I can think of is we're trying to cover up something. We're trying to cover up what we really are, what we really smell like, what these clothes are. We want everybody to think, you know, when I walk in a room, I'm not for sure I want everybody to go, oh, here comes Greg, the April freshness of the world. Come on in, Greg. And I don't want to smell like that. But in reality, when we start looking at this and turning this around to seeing what the Bible says about it, I want to ask you a real good question this morning. Who are you? What's the real you? Have you been covering up? Have you been trying to buffalo everybody? And you know, in this world right now, when you're home alone, there's no reason to try to pretend to be somebody you're not. People's not coming over. It's just you and your husband, you and your wife, you and your family. In the middle of that, maybe that's the real you. How many times have we tried to cover up things of discovering who we are and what we are, what we're thinking, and we just try to pretend? You know, you all know my story, so I'm not going to go into that, but I spent years until just a couple years ago before I became real. This is me. This is who I am. Love it or leave it, but this is me. Even though I use Downy and Tide and all this stuff that has the scent, I don't use the scent of toilet paper. I haven't yet. I haven't got down to using Angel Soft yet. But who are you? You know, as I was going through hanging up clothes yesterday, I noticed a book. This is a book I wrote several years ago called Body Bag Religion. And I started scanning through. This is, you know, I haven't read this thing in years. And I forgot what some of this even had in it. But there's a couple places in here that I want to read to you that really touched me. And it talks about what we're going to be talking about today in the sermon. You can clean up the old self. This is on page 103. You can clean up the old self, perfume it, put new clothes on it, educate it, and otherwise seek to improve it, but all you have is still your old self. But what we need is not the old self anymore. We need the new self. And in order for the new self to come forth, the old self must be dealt with. And the way that God has chosen to deal with the old self is not to reform it, but to to remove it, to give rid of it. This is good. This is what it means to be crucified with Christ. We are now under no obligation to the old life because we have been set free from it. Hallelujah. Is that not good stuff? If we could hear Philip right now, Philip Plummer, he would be yelling, amen. because that's what it's all about. We are now under no obligation to the old life because we've been set free from it. We are dead to the old way of living. Sin no longer has any control over us. Satan no longer has any right to us. We are no longer who we were. We are crucified with Christ so that God can give us new life. And Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. I'm dead, yet alive. Now, there's another little part in the book, and here I am. I'll tell you what, if I had dark hair like that again, it would be, I can't believe I had black hair back in those days. That was a long time ago. See what you guys have done to me? Okay. Now, this is a story that I really want you to hear because I love this. This is in the book of 147. It says the Bible clearly states that we should throw away the old clothes and put on the new clothes. And here's the story that maybe you've heard, but I can't remember. Isn't it amazing how the older we get, the more times we repeat the same story? So bear with me if you've heard it before. Think about it. Let's say you're out fishing all day long. Let's say we're all up with the old days at the river, and we're fishing all day long with the old days, okay? We're catching those things as fast as we can catch them, throwing them in the boat, and then all of a sudden you're getting stinky and sweaty, and you smell all like fish because you just had the best catch of the day, and from all the fish guts and the worm juice, and then you wanted to take your wife out to eat for nice romantic dinner. Think about that. You wouldn't just come home from the lake and put the clean, fresh clothes over the smelly and stinky clothes, would you? Or try to cover the smell with a quick spray of Old Spice or Wild Country. So let's continue a little bit in with the story. The dinner goes fine. And as the evening progresses, the dinner music begins and you take your wife's hand and proceed to the dance floor. Picture it. You put your loving arms around her and pull her close to the chest as the soft, slow music begins. You look into her eyes with great passion and you start to dance. But then you notice your wife starts to wiggle her nose a little bit. And under her breath, says that something smells fishy. No matter how hard you try to cover up the earlier activities of the day, I guarantee you that before the evening's event was finished, your wife would have a few things to say about you covering up the old clothes by putting new clothes over it. The Bible says that this is the Christian life. It's like putting on a new set of clothes, new brand, spanking new life. That's what we are seeking. And during this time of us being bottled up, put in a room, in our homes, not allowed, even though we're allowed to go some places now, and we have face masks on and all that, I went out yesterday and it's like the world's not open yet. I wouldn't recommend it. It was good to see that people hadn't gone crazy yet in restaurants and things of that order. So I was driving by. I'm not going in a restaurant to sit down to eat. That just doesn't make sense. But as you get your Bible, I want to ask you a couple questions. There's six things, but we're not going to get to all six. I'm hoping to get to three. There's three or four things that are characteristics of what we can do while we're sitting at home to change. How we can change, how we can be different, how we can come out of this on the other side of this pandemic and be different and closer to Christ, have more of the stuff off of the old life that we've ever had, and we've put on all new. And then, you know, as we gather together back as a church, we'll be more powerful, more stronger, more closer to God than we've ever been before. And it's just going to be such a huge undertaking of the advancement of our walk with Christ if we'll take this time to change for the better while we're sitting around being couch potatoes. And some of you, I'm not saying you are, but some of people are just sitting watching TV saying, hope we can get out, hope we can get out. There's more to life. This is a perfect opportunity to better yourself, to change some of those clothes that even though you're a Christian, you're still trying to cover up some pieces with this stuff by just covering it up and say, hey, don't I smell good? Instead of going to the depth of taking care of it and getting rid of it. 2 Corinthians 3:18, this is where I want you to turn to. I want you to turn to Ephesians. So go ahead and find your Bibles, open it up to the book of Ephesians, and you'll be right there when we get there. But 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, as God's Spirit works within us, we are being transformed to become more and more like what the world wants. No, wrong answer. No, wrong answer. Strike it. Ding, ding, ding. Sorry, you're off the game show. That isn't it at all. Let me tell you what it is. We're being transformed to become more and more like Christ. Not like what your mom wants, not like what your friends want you to be, but we're becoming more and more like Christ. This change from one degree of glory to another comes from whom? Me? No. Thanks for your wrong again. Comes from a Sunday school book? No. It comes from the Lord. The change comes from God. That's what it's all about. During this time, we can get through a transformation. We can actually be what God wants us to be, even better than we've ever been before, if we'll take the time to get involved in that and let the process take place. Now, get into your Bibles, if you would, in Ephesians 4. Why is it so hard to change and improve and get better and get rid of some of the ugly inside of us? And kids, this is for you too. Why is it hard for you not to have the attitudes that sometimes you do? Why is it hard for you not to talk back? When just as soon as it leaves your mouth, you go, oh, I didn't want to say that, but you already did. Why is that? And let me give you, while you're looking up Ephesians, four reasons why it could be hard to change, to improve, to cut out some of that bad stuff. And the first one is this. It's hard to change those defects is because I've had these so long. They're part of me. It's who I am. Oh, Greg's always been that way. Oh, he's always had that prideful attitude. Oh, he's always been a smart mouth. Oh, he's always mouthed off before he thought. I had this stuff so long, so it's hard to get rid of that. And you know, I'll tell you what. Oh, it's hot. Still hot. Doggone. And you start seeing the real person when you get them in a tense pressure situation and you start painting them off into a corner and you think, okay, and when pressure comes on, you start seeing the real come out. So that's why it's hard to change, is because I've been used to this so long. You've been used to it so long. You've been that way for years. You've enjoyed that habit that nobody knows about for years. That's why it's hard to get rid of. Some of the things that we're dealing with are patterns that we have as adults. We got all the way back in our childhood just to survive. So we enter into those modes. And I wish I could call out some people's names, but I won't. We enter into those modes when something reminds us of our past. We will retreat back to like we were as a child just to be able to survive that event, because it reminds us that that was the only way to cope with reality back years ago. And that's a whole different topic. But that's one of the reasons, because we've held on to it so long. We've had it so long. And the second reason is because I identify with my defects. I identify with that. I'm a workaholic. I identify with that. Some people are passive aggressive. Well, I'm just passive aggressive. That's the way I am. I have people come up to church to me a lot and will tell me what they think. Oh, sorry, Greg. That's just the way I am. I'm blunt. Well, that's fine. But if you're rude in the process of being blunt, then change your rudeness. Because I shouldn't have to deal with your rudeness if that's just the way you are. That doesn't make it the right way. I have no problem with bluntness, and I like being one-on-one with people and head-on straight. But if rudeness and not loving and has an unloving attitude involved in it, then that's not of Christ. No matter if you tell me, well, that's just who I am. Well, great. Try and change it. Oh, boy, I almost started preaching. Sorry. The third reason it's so hard to change is with dealing with our defects and dealing with some of those things that we want to get out of our life is that because every one of those defects in us has a payoff. It has a payoff. You may not realize it, but every defect has some kind of reward behind it. I can treat them that way and I can motivate them. No. Manipulate them to do what I want when I treat them that way. So there's a reward for that passive aggressive. Do you do that with your friends, with your spouse, or you start doing things like the pity party? Oh, well, nobody loves me. You didn't answer my email back fast enough, or you didn't text me, so you must not care. And you start doing that, and then you start vocalizing that and kicking that out all over the Facebook world, and people will start responding and say, oh, it's okay, we're sorry. Then there was a reward for that defect. And that's sometimes why it's hard to fix those things in our life that we want to fix and need to fix in our life. Then the fourth way that we're going to get to Ephesians. Satan fights it. Satan wants us to not improve and get more like Jesus. So he's throwing every piece of artillery that he knows at us. And it's important that we figure out what this book of Ephesians and this portion of Ephesians has in our lives so we can become all Christ wants us to be. And wouldn't it be perfect? Can you imagine? Can you imagine if the day that we went into quarantine, everybody got a Bowflex or an exercise machine or what's this bike thing that everybody's riding on TV? I don't like those commercials because it makes me feel guilty. I'm sitting in my chair. But they're riding on their TV and they're doing all this stuff. Can you imagine what we would do on day one if everybody got one of those? And said, I'm going to become the best physical person that I can be. By the time we would have been out of this and back to church 2 or 3 months later, we would look at people and go, you look like that person, but is that you? Is that really you? Because we would have changed our physical body. What's wrong with why we're sitting alone and in our rooms and have all this time in the world to be able to get into God's word deeper and improve us, that when we come back, we'll say, wow, you shine even brighter than you ever have. You know scripture like you've never known it before. What? And you start seeing people because we're changing for the better. That's what it's all about. And Satan does not want us to do that. He thinks, because that's Satan's plan. If I can isolate everybody, get everybody that was tight like this together in a church building, and then all of a sudden spread them all out and put them on different sides of town, different sides of counties, and never get them back for a few months, it won't draw them closer to you. They're going to become understanding of saying, and this is what Satan's trying to do. I will isolate them. I will seclude them. I'll get inside their mind because there's the power in the numbers of us getting together. That's why Scripture says, don't stay away from church very long. As often as you can, get together. Why? Because temptation is going to be there. Iron sharpens iron. We perfect each other. We make people better by being together. So why we're separate, let's start working on ourselves. Okay? Now, that was a whole bunch of intro for Ephesians 4. So if you would, turn to Ephesians 4. I'm going to try to find it in my Bible. Ephesians 4. Just keep it open to all four, because I think we'll kind of jump around in Ephesians 4. Looks like we had several people joined us. Which is always good. How do I make changes in my life? While you're sitting at home, are a few things to make changes that you need to in your life. This is for a 95-year-old. This is for a 5-year-old. So kids, hang with me. Stay with me. Don't fall asleep on me. Don't leave and go play Nintendo or whatever those Switch or whatever those things are. Hang right here because you can use this too. Okay? Number one, real change involves new thinking. New thinking. We need to change the way the old things that we used to think about and the way we thought about them. This world's not going to be the same. I want to let you know, church will not ever be the same. New thinking, new ways, new concepts. And if you want change in your life, you need to have a different way you're thinking about your life. If you want things to be different, why and how do you expect that to happen if you keep doing things the same way? Impossible. It's impossible. Ephesians 4:23. If you're there, say, oh yeah, but Ephesians 4:23 says this, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Other versions say it like this. There must be a spiritual renewal of your thoughts and your attitudes. The contemporary English version goes like this. Let the spirit change your way of thinking. I like that. Now, let the Spirit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, self-control, meekness. The fruit of the Spirit isn't something that you can go and pick and tie it to your tree. The fruit of the Spirit isn't something that you can go grab from somebody else and duct tape it to you. Oh, I want to have a memory of Bible verses like Philip, and you grab that and you try to tape it here. It doesn't work. Oh, I want to have the loving spirit of Gene Pritchard, and you take that and you try to tape it here. It doesn't work that way. The fruit of the Spirit. This is a secret. I may need you to huddle up. The fruit of the Spirit, and in this change, is an inside job. It starts from the inside and works its way out. So, in the spiritual realm, hang with me, because I'm circling the plane, getting ready to land. In the spiritual realm, this doesn't work. this doesn't work. And all of this other stuff has no effect on you making the permanent change. You can come to church and leave church. You can watch this webcast and turn it off whenever you want. But it doesn't just because, I watched Pastor Greg on Faith Springs Live this morning. I'm different now. No, you're not. It's an inside job. It has to penetrate somewhere, but more importantly, it has to come from your heart outward. God is telling us in Ephesians, there has to be a spiritual renewal of your thoughts and your attitudes. Now, Ephesians 4, stay with me because I'm going to hang in there for the next 20 minutes. 17 through 19. This talks about the new person. Okay? This I say, therefore. I'm actually getting amens over the text. I just love that. Thank you. Somebody's listening. Chapter 4, 17 through 19. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Who, being past feeling, having given themselves over to lewdness, to all uncleanness and greediness. There's another version that goes like this, and may clear it up a little bit. I like different versions because it helps my not so smart mind understand something. Okay, I want people that's listening to what I'm saying today. Whether you're 8 years old or you're 88, you can understand this. This applies to you, okay? So kids, I want you to be able to understand it. So I have to understand it because my mind's about at 8 years old. My body, 88. Okay, never mind. That's a whole different story, whole different story. A different version goes like this. Don't keep living as the ungodly do, for they are hopelessly confused in their thinking. Their closed minds are full of darkness. They're far away from the life that God gives because they have shut their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. This is 17 through 19, Ephesians 4, a different version. They don't care anything about right or wrong, and they've indulged themselves in all kinds of immorality and evil thinking, and constant desire for more materialism. To be able to change, to be able to take this time that we have in our houses, in our homes, and our apartments, in our penthouses, or wherever you live, we have to have a new way of thinking. And we got to break out of the old way. And it has to be an inside job. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to values and opinions of this world. Do not conform to the values and the opinions of this world. Instead, let God transform you by teaching you the right and true way to think. We need a new way of thinking. The old way, folks, unless you're all happy where you're at and you think you have made it, we need a new way of thinking. We need to be able to understand God wants me to draw closer to Him. The truth never changes, but the way we apply it does. The revelation of it does. That's why the Bible is a living entity, that when we read it, it's the same words, but the Holy Spirit brings it to us in a different way. Church, we need a new way of thinking. A new concept. And I got to be honest with you. 5 years ago, I would have never had an online presence. 5 years ago, I had people come up to me. Oh, great. We need online. We need online TV. We need online church services. We need this. We need that. Okay. Well, I don't even know how to turn my computer on, but okay. But I wasn't until I was forced to make the decision. God, now, on this Sunday morning, I can almost assure this. I can't. I may be lying, but from my belief, there's more people hearing and being touched by the Word of God today than ever in the history of the world. You're calling this pandemic from Satan. God's saying, I'm going to use what Satan thinks is going to destroy us by dividing us. I'm going to use it to bring us all into hearing God's word in a number that has never been heard before. And I truly believe this day, more people will be able to hear God's word than ever because they're looking for something. And all they have to do is open up their computer and push a button and boom, there it is. Better yet, all they have to do is open up their word and there it is. It's right there. But because we don't have that process of wanting to change, wanting to think, what am I going to do? Until sometimes we get in that position to where we have to. And I'm glad that we've had this time. Not the Carol Burnett story, together. not Carol Burnett. But I'm glad we've kind of had this moment of an aha moment of, why haven't we done this before? Why haven't we had the ability to be able to do it? Because basically, you have a lazy pastor. I don't know much about it. And thank goodness I have Don and Doug to help me with this out in California. You guys deal with how to figure it out. I just want to turn the button on and talk. That's all I can do in life. That's about all I'm halfway decent at is talking. But in this world, to be able to change, you have to be able to have a new way of thinking. And I'm thinking there's a lot of different ways of doing the gospel than what we've had before. There's a lot of different ways of meeting the needs of the community like we've never done before. And we need to find those and have a new step outside of the box. Think outside of the box. Because it's going to be different when we come back. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the differences. We're going to have some new people and we're making a bigger impact, a bigger fingerprint on people than we've ever thought we could because God is using different ways that we never thought that we would. If you want to be transformed, you can't be conformed. If you want to be transformed, you can't be conformed. You have to be completely different. 1 Corinthians 3:19 says, the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. What the world calls smart, God calls stupid. What the world thinks is the way to do it, God says, I don't think so. The church needs to be on the cutting edge of everything, of being able to get his word out in ways that we never thought we could possible. Ephesians 4:23, let the Spirit change your way of thinking. Another way to change, to transform, is it requires learning the truth. It requires learning truth. Truth. This is a tough one because it goes back to that first question that I asked you earlier when we started. Who are you really? Who are you? Not who do people say you are. Not who the people that you've manipulated to make them think that you were A-okay. Who are you really? There's a couple of verses that will stay in Ephesians. I'm kicking the stand. Stay in Ephesians. Of course, we all know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You know that. You've heard that. That's one of those verses that everybody has memorized. But John 17 says, use the truth to make them complete. Your word is truth. God uses truth to make us complete. And what is truth? Let me reach for my Bible. This is the only thing that is true. Again, you can cover it up. You can paint it. Ladies, you can dye it. You can paint it whatever color you want. But eventually, the roots are going to come out. We can just douse it with perfume and cologne and move on. We can press it the way we want to, but the truth is eventually going to come out. In Ephesians 4, stay with me there, 14 and 15. I'm going to keep reaching for a Bible. I need another table. I got like four tables around me trying to get all this stuff out. Ephesians 14 and 15. Talking about truth here. We should no longer be like children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But, verse 15, speaking the truth, there it is, circle it, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. The truth is God, is Christ, is his word. And you say, wait, great. Well, what's truth? It's Christ. It's the word. It's the same thing. You say, no, where do you get that? John 1:1, in the beginning was the word. And the word was, you know it. It's just, this is such a blessing to us. This is how we find out what truth is. It's by reading God's word. It's by discovering how God's word can change us. And the truth in there will be able to do that inside process and to be able to work inside out, inside and work its way out. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Ephesians 14 and 15, we already read that. But now, what does that verse say? Why is truth so important? Because behind every self-defeating behavior, here we go. It's so hard to be serious with a bunch of chickens and bunnies around. In every self-defeating behavior, we all have them. When I looked in the mirror this morning, I still don't like what I see. I still, in my mind, see nothing but filth and ugliness. But I need this sermon. So this is for me. You guys just get to listen in. I'm preaching to myself. Because in every self-defeating behavior is a, you ready? Lie. It's a lie. It's a lie from Satan. Here I am at 56, almost getting ready to turn 57 years old. And I still battle with this stuff because of what's happened to me in the past and all those years. But I want to let you know what happened to me was real. But what it caused me to think and be wired as and look at myself through different eyes than other people see it is a lie. It's a self-defeating behavior. That's why I have to soak myself more into God's word so it can take care and wash all of the lies, not cover them up, not douse them with extra beads that make me smell better, but to get the truth into me. So it's an inside job. So when it comes out, I become the masterpiece of everything that God wants me to be. And that's what we need to be doing while we're sitting here in this quarantine. That's what we need and how we need to be dealing with this.
is working through and finding more truth so we can become more of what Christ wants us to be. And what is that? More of being like Him. And that's where it's at. Ephesians 4, 21. Since you have learned all about Him, Jesus, who is the truth. I want to make sure that one didn't sound right. I may have wrote it down wrong. Well, if indeed you have learned, if you heard Him, and you've been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus. The truth is not in me. The truth is not in what wild idea that I have, and so I think God spoke to me. The truth's in Him, in God, in Jesus, in His Word, and what He can do for you. And then one more verse, and I think we're going to have to shut down because we're about done. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Because if you're going to trust God's Word, it's going to help you in four different ways. Okay, then I'm going to shut down. Trust God's Word in your life because it's going to help you in four different ways. All Scripture is inspired by God. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. And it's useful. Here we go. Now he mentions the four ways that it's useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives, to straighten us out, and to teach us to do what is right. It is God's way of preparing us in every way, fully equipping for every good thing that God wants us to do. You have different versions of this. The old King James version goes like this. God's word is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. That's a good couple verses. If I want to have change during this time, as we wind down, I'm only going to get to two today. I won't add to this next week. We're just going to stop it there because these two can be powerful. We need to change the way we think, and we need to be required to understand the change only comes by hearing the truth. The truth. I'm going to go back. As I shut down, I'm going to gather all my pages to the original question. Who are you? Really? Spiritually, without all of this. Without all of this. Without all the coverings, who are you? This is a perfect time to dig into God's Word. This is a perfect time to spend quality time with your kids that they have been begging for. Now you each want to kill each other. I understand. But now's the time to make memories, to grow together, but most importantly of all, now is the time for you to get into the truth and make lasting changes and become more like Christ. I wish, no, I don't.
but let's pretend I did, that I had the power of President Trump or Mayor Turner or Governor Abbott, and say, I'm going to require everybody to wear a mask. I'm going to require everybody to do this. I would love, as your pastor, but more importantly, as your friend, I would love to be able to say, I need to make a declaration. I require each of you to get into this. But more importantly, I require each of you to let this get in to you. And let it be an inside job and become the real you, what God wants you to be for Him. I tell you, it's been good to be with you today. I love being with you. I love reading the comments. I love seeing your faces. I love, and I'll be talking to all of you afterwards. I want to thank you for being with us this morning. Soon we will be back. I do want to ask the question again, if you'd like to be able to get into that building. I'd like to be able to, but would you be attending? If you have not answered yet, if we opened up church as early as next week in a different format than what we have now, in maybe a safer mode, everybody wearing masks and spread out 40 or 50 at a time in different services, would you come or would you not? All I need is a yes or no. I don't need explanations. I just kind of want to make a poll. I'm trying to make the right decisions as your pastor. It's tough. It's taxing. There's a little pressure there, but that's what sometimes the shepherd has to do that of the flock. And by all means, I'm not more qualified, but I'm trying to hear from God what the safest thing is to get everybody back. But I truly enjoy this time that we have together each and every Sunday. And we're going to continue this on when we have church back in the buildings. We'll be right back on Facebook and BBS Radio Live, and let everybody be able to see us on YouTube and all those different avenues that we have. We're going to continue that. If you have an opportunity tonight to join us tonight at 8 o'clock on Breaking the Silence, we have an awesome guy going to be on tonight called George E. Miller. He is our last show of the Warriors of Hope series that we've had. He's an artist, and I spoke to him this week, and we had about an hour conversation online on webcam, and it was an unbelievable connection that we had, and just some of the words that he said. I wish we'd had that casual conversation taped to be able to play for you today. Listen to it tonight because it was powerful. It was life-changing, and he has an awesome story. And then a week from Sunday night, we have a two-hour television webcast from 8 to 10 o'clock Central Time, and we'll all be videotaped with all the people together in the same screen talking and sharing what is going on in our lives and how to get through this kind of situation, how to get through when trauma has hit you. So be part of that if you want to. I don't really want to promote stuff that I'm doing on the side, but it's all part of me. It's all part of this. It's all part of church and trying to help each other and love each other out. If you have any comments, if you want to just reach out, feel free to text me, email me, Facebook me, or whatever you want. I'll be glad to respond back to you. If you need any kind of supplies or care, special prayer, please reach out to Esther. She will get that information to me and then out to the family of God and to share with each other about what's going on. I miss you. I'd give a week's salary right now for a hug from one of the kids. I love getting down on my knees and letting those kids just run into my arms and hug my neck. I miss that, and I need that because they're so precious to me. But, hey, kids, we're thinking about you. This is happening. It's going to happen soon. We're going to have a great time. But most importantly, we're going to be in God's house talking about not chickens and Easter eggs and Easter bunnies. We're going to talk about the risen Lord. And may you take that risen Lord, apply him to your life, let him make a change in you, and always remember that there's always hope. Don't give up on hope. Hang on to hope. hope is always there as long as we're breathing. Christ is the inventor. He is the essence. He is the presence of hope in each of our lives. From the bottom of my heart, I love each and every one of you. Join us right here next week, 10 a.m. Central Time. Join us early if you want to chit-chat. 10 a.m. Central Time for another online service of Faith Springs Live. God bless you, and have a good week, and let the process work from the inside out this week. Search for truth. Amen.